Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Have you ever been consumed? Maybe it was a romantic interest in high school. Can you remember all the time wasted? I mean, all the time spent. All the time spent trying to work out if he or she liked you in return. Have you ever lost a child in a shopping center? Not that I have, but I imagine you'd be quite consumed finding that child. Have you ever lost an entire weekend binge watching your favorite TV series? Are you someone who gets consumed by exams? You completely will forget about meals. You'll tap out from family, become that grumpy member of the family because you're so focused on study. Do you know an Ironman? Boy, oh boy, do they get consumed by training months out from the event, up at 4 a.m. so that they can do a marathon before they go to work, and then they come home and they eat and they're in bed by 8 p.m. so they can get up at 4 a.m. again in the morning and do the long bike ride, so on and so forth. Today, Jesus is going to hold the spotlight over us. Jesus is going to examine our lives with this one penetrating question. What are we consumed by? As has been mentioned, this is a beginning of a four-week preaching and point group series on generosity. And as we work through it, we are going to see that Jesus has a whole lot to say about generosity with our money and our possessions. And as I do every time when I preach on generosity, I begin with an apology for using American statistics. I use US statistics for two reasons. One is there's just no good Aussie statistics on Christian giving. And secondly, I suspect Aussie Christianity is the same as US Christianity. Here's the brutal facts. Church members average giving 2.5% of income to ministry, which is problematic considering we are the wealthiest Christians to ever live. During the Great Depression, Christians gave more. Furthermore, it's estimated that somewhere between 33 to 50% of committed churchgoers give nothing to ministry. And furthermore, again, only 5 to 10% of Christians give 10%. Now, that's extraordinary. Christians during the Great Depression gave more. The history is that Christians used to use 10% of giving towards God's work as normal. It wasn't considered sacrificial, it wasn't considered generous, it was just always has been throughout church history, except for now, normal giving. That's the bad news. You ready for some really good news? It's a bit dated. In 2004, if Christians were to have given 10% to kingdom work rather than 2.5%, an extra $164 billion would have been available. Now, a group called the Borgen Project have said that if between the years of 2006 to 2015, if $46 billion was given toward eliminating global starvation and malnutrition, provided education for every child, universal access to clean water and sanitation, if everything would have been put in place to fix all of those things, could have been wiped out. That's good news, isn't it? All it would have taken is $46 billion a year for a few years, and we could have wiped out poverty, provided clean water, sanitation for everyone around the world. That still leaves over $100 billion for kingdom expansion. In his book, The Treasure Principle, Randy Alcorn states that 15% of Jesus' teaching is on money and possessions. That's more than heaven and hell put together. 15% today, what would that be equivalent to? 8 sermons every year on money and possessions. That would be equivalent to 5 minutes of every 30-minute sermon on money and possessions. That's the sort of attention Jesus gave to our money and possessions. Does Jesus want us to be happy? Of course he does. And so I'm looking forward to this series on money and possessions. We have an opportunity to experience incredible joy through releasing lots and lots and lots of money towards kingdom work. And I know some of you, as we begin the series, will be thinking, what does church want from me now? I encourage you, hold back your cynicism, but read the Bible passages carefully. Filter everything that's said from the pulpit in the Point Group series through what God is saying through the scriptures. Because I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. I want something for me. I want us to know the joy of biblical generosity. So here's the vision of the series. Generosity, it's overflowing lives released to God for others. I trust your heart sings as you hear that. That's exciting. It's inspiring. It's the sort of life that gets you out of bed in the morning. If you don't think so, I suspect you're not converted yet. You see, God overflowed with love and sent Jesus into the world. Out of the overflow of God, Jesus came and died for us. Jesus is our example of the joy of an overflowing life. And so our passage today, it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Here's how we're going to break it down. Firstly, we're going to hear from Jesus, the financial advisor. Jesus has got some clear, compelling financial advice for us. Then we're going to look at treasure in heaven, and then Jesus is going to put a spotlight over our bank accounts. That's where we're headed. Got your Bible open? Matthew 6. I'm going to read from verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus's financial advice is priceless. Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth. Why? Because they're bad? No. Because they will not last. Jesus's financial advice is clear, it's confidence, it's absolute. Earthly wealth is always lost. We either lose it while we live, or we leave it when we die. Jesus is crystal clear. We must make a choice between laying up treasures on earth and between treasures in heaven. We cannot say, how about both? That's our temptation, isn't it? Verse 24 is clear. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one, love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You see, we're either consumed by money and we treat God like a butler, or we're consumed by God and we make money a tool for God's kingdom. Jesus is clear. Don't be consumed by earthly treasure. Be consumed by God. Be consumed by heavenly treasure. That is Jesus' clear financial advice. And so the question immediately comes up, doesn't it? What is treasure in heaven? And so to our second point, treasure in heaven. According to Jesus, laying up treasure in heaven is the opposite of laying up treasure on earth. According to Jesus, they're the opposite. Jesus pits treasure on earth against treasure in heaven. Here is Jesus' point. Instead of spending all of our time and money anchoring our lives into a vapor that is this life, spend our time and money anchoring our life in eternity. As long as we keep thinking these few decades on earth is all that there is, we're going to be consumed by money. Let's say you and I live to 90. That's a good innings, isn't it? 90's all right. Now compare 90 years to eternity. Look at 90 years on the timeline of eternity. 90 years, it's a vapor. It's a passing mist. It's a hairbreadth. And as long as we think this is it, we're going to be consumed by money. Don't spend your time and money as if this is it. This is how Matthew McCulloch puts it from his book, Remember Death, The Surprising Path to Living Hope. Before you long for a life that is imperishable, you must accept that you are perishing along with everyone you care about. You must recognize that anything you might accomplish or acquire in this world is already fading away. Only then will you crave the unfading glory of what Jesus has accomplished and acquired for you. And you need to recognize you are going to lose everything you love in this world before you will hope in an inheritance kept in heaven for you. Sounds like Colin Buchanan, yeah? It's all going to rust. It's all going to fade. I want you to meet my mate. I call him Yorick. Alas, poor Yorick. I keep him on my desk, where I work, as a little reminder that is going to be me one day. Steve, one day, you're going to be pushing up daisies. And so how are you going to use today? I'm always scared I'm going to drop him and break him. Until we accept that, until we embrace the reality that this life is a vapor, it is a passing moment, we will anchor ourselves in this life only. We will build treasures on earth because we'll think that this is the main game. But as we anchor our life in eternity, we will see the joy of storing up treasures in heaven. In verses 22 to 23, Jesus says the same thing, just in a different image. The eye is the lamp of the body. And so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What's your eye? What's my eye attracted to? A car? A house? A fit body? Somebody else's fit body? Reputation, career? Or growing in godliness, seeing people saved, building churches, seeing people released from poverty, stopping oppression. What is our eye attracted to? Jesus is telling us to be very, very careful about what our eye longs for, because what our eye longs for, our heart longs for. and what our heart longs for, we willingly, subconsciously spend our time and money on. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Brother, sister, what does your heart long for? What are you consumed by? Treasure in heaven? We now turn to Jesus' spotlight on our bank accounts. In 1989, I gladly worked 18 hours a day, 6 days a week for 2 months. Two jobs, not lying. 18 hours a day, 6 days a week for 2 months. Why? Because I wanted to go to America. If you wanted to know where my heart was, you just had to look at my bank account and see the money that was being put aside for a US plane ticket. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is saying, "Show me your money and I'll show you your God." Jesus is not saying earthly treasures are bad. It wasn't bad for me to spend that period of my life to save up for a plane ticket. I'm glad Stu shared with us this morning some of the things out of his treasure box. They're good treasures. But Jesus is getting us to look at what are we spending our money on? What does it say about us? And over the next 3 weeks, we will think into more concretely about Christian giving. But for this week, it's vital to hear the principle that Jesus is giving that sits under all of our money, whether it's $100 or $100 million. And that principle is joy. You see, there is joy in buying earthly treasure. So the house Nicole and I live in, it's the only house we've owned. It's the first house we've bought. We're still living in it. And our thought process was, yeah, how do we get a roof over our heads? We want to raise a family. We want to have people over. We want to do hospitality. We want to run money out of this. We knew that we wanted to continue to be generous after we had a mortgage. And so we thought, okay, our giving is put in first. We want to keep releasing money and then our mortgage will come in next. And as we bought the house, the first thing that the real estate agent said to me was, "Here's the key. You've now got equity to build wealth." I wasn't even thinking about that before she said anything. And I don't think there's anything wrong with generating wealth. Get the Barefoot Disciple book. But as we do get wealth along the way, are we thinking about how to use that for kingdom work, or do we get consumed by the earthly treasure and forget about the heavenly treasure? Here's the question Jesus has for you and me. Do we have joy in releasing our treasure to heavenly pursuits? Is our eye more attracted to seeing someone saved by Jesus Christ, or seeing the Avengers save the world on a big, fancy new screen TV with surround sound? Is our eye attracted to another sponsor child through Compassion, or filling our bodies at the fanciest restaurant in town? Now, it's tempting to reach for our bank app and quickly grab another sponsor child, to quickly give a bit more money to church, but I suspect that would just be guilt. Jesus is after our heart. This is about a lifestyle, not a moment. This is about a generation, not our current situation. This is about a lifetime of joy-filled giving money to kingdom work, not a lifetime of begrudging offertories. This is about an overflowing life released to God for others. How do you worship God with your money? Do you see yourself as a donor or as a steward? Do you see your money as your hard-earned cash or as a gift from God? And I'm not just talking about 10%, I'm talking about all of it. Should God be grateful for your donation? Or is God the one who decides how you should manage his accounts? Friends, the earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord, including our money. God is calling us to be generous with our money. So that as we release more of our money, that the world will see Jesus is the greatest treasure. Jesus is calling us to be stewards, not donors. We are children of the wealthiest Father in the universe. And our Father is joyfully, liberally generous. So, how do we go from guilt-laden, begrudging donors to joy-filled releases of more and more cash to God's kingdom? The gospel. As a matter of fact, it is only the gospel that can transform our heart. You see, in the gospel, we see that Jesus left the spectacular opulence of heaven to enter this world of pain and suffering. In the gospel, we see that the mighty, mighty Son of God is nailed to a cross and crushed by his Father for our sin. Jesus went through that separation so that we wouldn't have to. And in the gospel, we see that God has raised Jesus to life. He's the one that we've been worshiping this morning in song. Jesus is seated on his throne. All power and authority has been given to him. And Jesus is calling his followers to put our faith in him. To put all our faith, to put all of us in him. Jesus, he's telling us right now, he's telling us he did all of that because heaven is so much better than earth. Do you really think the Father and I would have used the cross if earth is comparable to being with us? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. Jesus tells a parable. It's one of my favorites. I think because of the parable, but maybe because it's really short. And if he was to tell it today, I wonder if it might go something like this. True story, this is a reality. The point group I'm part of, there's a family that is traveling around the country at the moment. And so imagine that in their travels and they hit the outback, they find this treasure. And they realize this is the treasure they need to have. And they become consumed by it in a good way. So consumed, they realize all their plans for a trip are canceled. They're going back to Port Macquarie. They're going to sell all that they possess, not with madness, but with joy. Because they must have this new treasure. Jesus says in Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Jesus says, show me your bank account, then I'll show you your God. Show me your bank account, and I'll show you your joy. Show me your treasure, and I'll show you your heart. Jesus is after a heart. Let's pray. Father God, you are the Almighty. You are the Holy One. Right now, there are, I don't know, is it millions? Is it more? Is angels worshiping you in praise, and rightly so. And we long to join that chorus. Father, would you help us be consumed by you and your glory? Father, we pray that as you capture our heart, we will rightly think about how we use our time, our energy, our thoughts, yes, our money, everything that we have for you, to love you and love people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.